Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome to another week of Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Myers & Associates, serving the Midwest with industrial maintenance products and services. Call them at 515-795-3676. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running. Hey, welcome back. This is Shane Vanderhart. Brian, again, decided he had this thing called work. So he's not in the building.
We miss you, Brian.
We miss him. Ron will do his best to fill in. So it'll be actually this week, I think next week, and then the week after that, I think we'll have Brian back.
Yeah.
Come late June into July, I think things will be slowed down for him a little bit, and he'll have a life again. So outside of work anyway. My daughter, Lily. I never talk about Lily on the radio. But
that's true. You
know? I rarely do. It's not because I don't love her. I do. She played the best joke on me.
Uh-oh.
Okay, I was traveling for a couple days.
Yep.
So I get back home, and she was talking about, because I was up in Northwest Iowa, and she was talking about, Dad, can you take me to Walmart? And this is like 9 o'clock at night. Or no, more like 8:30 at night.
Yeah.
I'm like, first of all, I hate Walmart. I detest Walmart. For those of you who like Walmart, good for you. I prefer avoiding the place if at all possible. Indeed. And the last thing I want to do after being, driving from Spencer, Iowa, is get back in the car.
Right.
And drive to Walmart, one of my least favorite places. So, I said no. Cheryl said she wasn't going to take her. So then Cheryl's acting like she was going to take her. But then Lily was, saying, I gotta get something from Walmart. She walks out the door, and I didn't think of anything. I thought she was just running out the van to get something.
Sure.
Kelby looks out the window. Mom, Dad, the van's gone. What?
Oh my goodness!
This kid, I was like, what? Has she been dropped on her head? I mean, why? Why would she take off without a license?
Especially that, yes.
So, oh, I mean, she's 16, but she didn't have a license.
Uh-huh.
So, I finally get in the car. I'm like, I'm going to go find her before a police officer does. And then I see her driving back driving. She passed me driving back to the house. She got home before I did. I come back in. And I'm thinking, I'm going to be laying down the law. You're going to be like grounded forever.
Yeah.
What are you thinking? And I said, did you trip and hit your head? And she said, yeah, it must have happened when I went to, the Iowa DOT to get my license. I'm like, oh, that was good.
Yeah.
So she played a good one on me. Oh, yeah.
So she is now street legal.
She is street legal. Praise God. I was thinking, this is something Morgan would do, maybe. He never did that either. So
sure.
I've been pretty blessed that way that my kids all drove legally. I could say we still have that record. But yeah, good one, Lily, and that was a good joke. I wanted to focus this segment on some of our local races, local federal races, because we've been hyper focused on the presidential race that I don't think we've really spent enough time talking about what's going on, in our neck of the woods, there isn't as much news. It's a little bit harder to track. But there is actually it's getting to be a hotly contested Democrat primary in the Iowa 3rd Congressional District.
Yep. That's true.
You have three candidates. Jim Maurer. Now, if that name sounds familiar, that's because Jim actually lived up in Boone last cycle. I think it was last cycle. The cycle before, I can't remember.
Okay. I think it was the last one.
The last one?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Okay. I'm trying to remember. No, Christy Vilsack was last. Ran against King last.
Okay.
So it was the cycle before. He ran against Congressman King in the 4th congressional district, or is it the 5th at that point? I can't remember. Anyway, he ran against Congressman King, and then apparently, I think he was appointed. He was in D.C., and then he's forgive me if I don't know his exact timeline and his resume and history, but he's worked in the Pentagon, and he was a Obama appointee for a while. He's back in Des Moines. He's running for Congress, so that's Jim Maurer. Desmond Adams. Desmond is a Waukee resident. He ran for Iowa Senate. He has the distinction of having lost to a deceased candidate, a deceased. in his defense, it's a safe Republican district.
Sure.
But late state senator Pat Ward passed away like right before their primary or right before the general election.
Wow.
And he still lost to her. And then, Charles Schneider, they ended up having a special election. Charles sure. Schneider then beat him.
Yeah.
So he's lost twice, even though technically that first time didn't count, but mm-hmm. I mean, he lost badly yeah. to Pat Ward, but he's running. Mike Scherzan, he retired Des Moines businessman, business owner, recently, I think he pretty much gave his company over to his employees, if I wow. understand that correctly. So he's all about, wage equality, income equality.
Mm-hmm.
Kudos to him for putting it into practice. So that kudos to him. But things are getting they're getting tense. There's no polling in this race, so we mm-hmm. have no idea exactly who's going to end up winning. Maurer, I believe, has raised the most money, and we'll talk a little about the money race in a little bit. He's been endorsed by the Des Moines Register, which in the Democrat primary probably means something, where in the Republic, with Republican primaries, it doesn't mean all that much.
That's right.
He just ran an ad this week called "The Greed of Wall Street" that targeted Mike Scherzan. So let's go ahead and play clip one.
The greed and recklessness of Wall Street almost destroyed our economy here on Main Street. And in this election, that matters. Because while banker Mike Scherzan was fighting to weaken President Obama's Wall Street reform laws, Democrat Jim Maurer was serving President Obama at the Pentagon. And in Congress, Jim Maurer will fight any attempt to weaken a law that protects Iowa's Main Streets from the greed of Wall Street.
I'm Jim Maurer, and I approve this message.
The greed of Wall Street. This is something I've had a chance to go to several Democrat events just to hear from these guys, and they're really this is a Wall Street reform, water quality, campaign finance reform.
Mm-hmm.
All these are things that they're really, really hitting hard. Especially in the 3rd congressional district. In the 1st congressional district, I've been to a couple events. They're getting more into social issues there than I've seen them get into in the 3rd congressional district, which I thought was interesting. I actually went to drove to Council Bluffs and went to a forum that was hosted by an LGBT group.
Wow.
And I thought, this is going to be all social issues.
Sure, sure.
Two questions. Only two questions were directly related to LGBT issues. The rest were all economic.
Wow.
Which shocked me.
Yeah.
Word of warning to Congressman Young or Joe Granadet, whoever wins the primary, because there's a contested Republican primary, which will probably be, I'm assuming, barring something catastrophic happening with the Young campaign, will be Congressman Young who wins that. And we're going to have Joe Granadet on next segment. We invited Congressman Young to call in as well, but they weren't able to do that with their schedule this week. So unfortunately, we won't be able to have him on before the primary. But anyway, it's interesting. So you got this ad that was played, and Scherzan responded. The Scherzan campaign responded, saying, "Today, Jim Maurer launched a dishonest attack against Mike Scherzan. The truth is, Mike has never been a banker, and he's always supported strict regulations for Wall Street. Mike is proud of his record, running a business that helped everyday Iowans invest for secure retirements while sharing profits with employees and paying women fairly. It's especially disappointing that Jim Maurer decided to launch this desperate attack ad after personally calling Mike and giving his word that he would not run a negative campaign. Today, Maurer broke his pledge to Mike and revealed his true colors to the voters of Iowa's 3rd District. And the Shruzan campaign actually released always be careful who you talk to on the radio or obviously on the radio, but on the phone, because you never know who's actually recording it.
Wow.
So anyway, they released a recording of the phone call.
That was, testing a bunch of attacks against you and me. And I wanted to give you a call and let you know that, I don't know how everything's going to play out, and obviously you have to make your own decision. But I'm not going to be the first one to go negative in this race. I think it's a bad idea to have, Democrats attacking other Democrats. And obviously, if that's the way it goes, I think that's unfortunate. And I'll, do what I have to do. But
anyway, I got to do what I got to do. But I won't be the first to go negative.
Right.
And he went negative. So I guess the question that voters need to ask of, Jim Maurer, if you could break your pledge here, why should people trust you to follow through on what you say you're going to do? So that's fascinating. Then Iowa 4th Congressional District race, we may not have time to talk about FEC filings, which I'm sure everybody would be disappointed by if we don't get to that. Iowa 4th Congressional District race is, we got Steve King versus Rick Bertrand, and I wrote an article the other day called Rick Bertrand, the No-Show Candidate. And he's been missing. He's developing a reputation for just not showing up at events. There's at least two campaign events that he did not show up at.
Wow.
He's been invited to speak at first I thought, when I wrote the article, four county central committee meetings. He was scheduled to speak and did not show up. And those were Buena Vista County, Floyd County, Harrison County, Republican Party. And then I also, somebody contacted me after I wrote the article, said, by the way, he did this in Story County as well, Carroll County.
Wow.
I'm like, why? He didn't show up for the Iowa 4th Congressional District Convention. It's mind-boggling to me for somebody who says he wants to actually be a primary challenger, doesn't actually show up. The Carroll County Republican Party chair, Craig Williams, wrote this. He said Bertrand didn't show up for his county convention, but that's part of a pattern for him. Buena Vista, Harrison, Floyd, Carroll counties all received calls from Bertrand requesting an opportunity to speak at the local county central committee. We all agreed he didn't show. I'm told of other counties in the 4th District where he was scheduled to speak and didn't come. At Bertrand's request, we held a speaking slot for him at the district convention in April in Fort Dodge. King spoke, but Bertrand did not show up. Last weekend in the state convention in Des Moines, this is a letter to the editor in Carroll's newspaper. In Des Moines, King spoke to the crowd of 1,500-plus. Bertrand was there for a few minutes and for some unknown reason declined his speaking slot. If it weren't for newspaper articles, it would be difficult to tell Bertrand is running. In a recent Times Herald article, Doug Burns was kind enough not to include a picture of the crowd that came out to see Bertrand in Sac County. That photo would have been a selfie since no one else showed up. Bertrand had hosted multiple events where, surprisingly, he actually did show up, but no one else did. So things are not going well for him. And the polling that we've seen shows that Congressman King's going to basically annihilate him in the primary. And then also you've got this. He was interviewed recently, and the King for Congress campaign posted this on Facebook.
You know what? I probably would look at probably, that's a good one, overall pass.
Okay. One part of the federal government you'd cut to...
Stop. Okay. Anyway, that was Facebook videos are hinky. Basically, he was asked, what part of the federal government would you cut? Pass. Okay. Wow. Usually,
I learned a lot from that one.
Yeah, me too. Me too. That he doesn't have an answer for it. That is such a basic question.
Sure.
How could you not have an answer for that? That's insane.
Yeah.
And this guy wants to be the 4th District's next congressman because essentially it's such a safe Republican territory. Whoever wins the primary will pretty much be the next congressman, whether it be Congressman King for another term or Rick Bertrand. So anyway, just money race. I wanted to, if we could at least get to one race, I want to talk about the Democrat primary. Right now, I mentioned Jim Maurer is leading. He has received over almost $600,000 in individual contributions. So he's received other committee contributions of $31,250. He has total contributions of $742,000. He's only loaned himself $850. He spent also $654,000 and has basically beginning cash on hand or any cash on hand right now of $90,000. So, you know, he's got a little bit in the bank, and that's not a whole lot to go on if he wins the primary and for a general election. Mike Sherzan, it looks like to me that he is pretty much self-funding his campaign because most of his contributions of $704,000, were mostly candidate loans of $643,000.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't necessarily show that he's got a lot of support behind him. Yeah. Anyway, interesting. And Desmond Adams is, under $100,000 of total contributions. So if it's the money that wins the race, it looks like Jim Maurer's got this. Anyway, we'll be back with the interview with Joe Granadet. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is Brian Myers of Myers & Associates. If you're involved in maintenance at a manufacturing plant, you know how costly it can be when a machine goes down. And if the reason that machine went down is because the electronic controls on it failed, it can really be problematic if those electronics are obsolete. Well, not to worry. We represent Providence Industrial Electronics Repair, and they can get your machine up and running in no time. They repair boards, drives, servo motors, light curtains, you name it. So if you need industrial electronics repaired at your plant, or if you have other industrial maintenance needs, give me a call at 515-490-2640. That's Myers & Associates, 515-490-2640. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running.
By Travis Rizvold of Modern Woodmen of America. Call Travis at 515-883-0029, and he can help you find the life insurance
you need.
On the line, we have a special guest, Joe Grandinette. Joe, am I pronouncing your last name right?
Grandinette, perfect.
Oh, awesome, awesome. He is a Republican candidate in Iowa's 3rd Congressional District race. He is primarying Congressman David Young, who we mentioned first segment that we also invited Congressman Young to call in, and they were unable to do that before the primary. The primary is next week, June 7th. Be sure you get out and vote. Joe, tell us a little bit about yourself, and welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Yeah, thank you. It's an honor to be with you. Yes, I'm born and raised here in Des Moines, Iowa. I'm a graduate of Dowling High School and Grandview Junior College and Drake University. I am married. And I have a 3-year-old baby daughter, and I recently retired from the Des Moines Public Schools last year, my last year, and I also had a small business for 14 years called Say Hello to Joe's. It was a sports nutrition store that I had for almost 14 years, and I haven't had that for about 3 years now, and I'm challenging Mr. Young.
So, let me ask you the question I ask of every candidate, whether they're still in office or they're just running for the first time
or this is multiple runs, and you ran last cycle as well. Why do you want to run? Why does anyone want to submit themselves to this process?
Well, I have been asked that question quite a bit. I want to run to go to Washington, D.C. to tell the truth. What a novel idea, tell the truth. That's all the American people want. We don't get the truth out of people that are running for office. They say one thing and do another when they get to Washington, D.C. They betray us and they lie to us. This is why we're $19 trillion in the hole. Our economy is just going at a small pace. We have many people out of work. We have a cultural war in this country. Decisions are made not in the best interest of the people that we represent. And so you need to have people that will run for office and will step up and do what's right for the American people, and that's where I come in, because Mr. Young has let us down.
Okay, so how has he let us down, and how would you be different than Congressman Young?
Well, Mr. Young, when he first got elected from the convention, he voted for Mr. Boehner, who was our Speaker of the House, and everybody was livid about that, and I'm sorry Mr. Boehner didn't represent us. He sided with the Liberal Democrats and Mr. Obama. He never put anything forth to the table to let Mr. Obama veto it or accept it. And in turn, we got nothing done for those 2 years. And we have the power of the purse. We control the House and the Senate, and nothing was done. And we still control the House and the Senate now that Mr. Ryan's in and nothing is done. So that was the first thing that Mr. Young did. And then as the... He won the primary, and then he went to the general election, and since he's been in office, he's made some other mistakes by voting the way he did. He wants to raise the gas tax. He wants complete amnesty for illegals in this country. And he just voted for the LGBT bill. He voted for it. He voted against it. Now he voted for it. And... You know, Mr. Young touts that he's a conservative, but he's not a conservative Republican.
Yeah, no.
So he has a challenger.
Yeah, Young. Regarding the bill you mentioned that he voted for and against, I've been told that he voted for that because of the religious liberty exemption that it would provide that currently isn't provided by President Obama's executive order. Obviously, this is a completely different thing from the school. The school executive order that President Obama did. This was addressing an executive order that he filed back in 2014. So let me ask you this. You know, Young says he voted for that to provide religious liberty exemption. What would you do to defend religious liberty?
Well, why is this even being brought up?
Okay.
We have a religious liberty in this country.
Right.
What is it that we have to vote upon? Why is it in a bill? Let's defend Christianity. Let's stand up. Let's fight for what's right. That's my contention.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to put it in a bill. We don't have to sell our soul for what should that our constitutional rights have. We are here for liberty. And so, Mr. Young, he can't make up his mind. And Rod Blunt voted against it. Steve King voted against it, but it's not good enough for Dave Young.
Okay.
So,
well,
you know, we have congressmen in our state that have the Iowa values.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's good enough for these two congressmen that represent, you know, half the state, why isn't it good enough for Mr. Young?
That's a good question. So, you know, as far as addressing religious liberty, obviously you've seen that, you know, Christian bakers and florists and are being coerced to and being fined in some cases and sued when they refuse to participate with same-sex weddings. Do you support there's a bill that's currently just kind of sitting there? It's called the First Amendment Defense Act. Is that something that you would support? Just to, obviously, it's not something you mentioned, why do we have to vote on? And I hear you. I'm with you on that, because we have the First Amendment. It should be clear as day that you can't violate religious conscience. But is this something that you would support? It's just making it clear that feds can't discriminate against people who exercise their conscience.
Well, yeah, of course I supported the law. I had a sports nutrition store for 14 years.
Mm-hmm.
And if someone told me how to do my business, I would tell them to go fly a kite.
Okay.
Because people are just here to make a living,
right.
and they shouldn't be told what to do. And we have these liberal judges, and we have people in office now there's enough people around now that think that we have to tiptoe through our Christianity, and I'm Catholic, and I don't tiptoe through my Christianity. I believe in who I am and what I'm all about, and we should have the laws that back it, and people just need to have people like myself that are going to fight for it, and that's the problem. We don't have enough candidates in office right now that'll fight for liberty and Christianity. We have people beheaded all around the country. For their faith, and trust me, it's here in America too.
Mm-hmm.
Not to the extent that it's not in the Middle East countries where they're beheading Christians. We need to stand up and fight for religious liberty.
You're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and on the line we have Joe Grandinette, who is running for Congress in this upcoming Republican primary in Iowa's 3rd Congressional District. Joe, you mentioned earlier when you first started chatting about why you're wanting to run for office, you mentioned the $19 trillion national debt that we're currently facing. What would you do as a congressman to address the debt?
Well, first of all, I'd like to cut 3% across the board every federal government. We'll start at 3%. Everybody can find 3%, and if you can't find 3%, I'll get a committee to find 3% of every federal government office. But the way you say, and then we go from there, and the way you decrease the debt is increase the income, so we have to bring jobs and businesses back to this country.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing that, you lower the corporate tax from 35% to 15%, equal playing ground with the rest of the world. Bring back businesses, repatriate the money to this country, and put people back to work. That way, more people will be paying taxes, more businesses will be paying taxes, and in turn, we can decrease this debt. And then we start with entitlements.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what I have, and I have on my little red card, and I've had it since day one, is that we should have only 3 years on entitlements. That doesn't mean people getting Social Security. Entitlements, people that are able to work, and after 3 years, they're off of it. We'll send them to college for a couple of years. We'll give them a babysitter, and then we'll hook them up with businesses that need a certain person in a certain field, whether it be working at the grocery store and being management, or learning how to be an IT person, or learning how to be a baker and a chef or an electrician. We'll put these people back to work.
Mm-hmm.
We'll give them 2 years apprentice program. We'll start them out at DMAC or any place, and then get them a year for internship, and then they're off and running, and they're off of welfare.
Okay, sending them DMAC, that would be federally funded. Taxpayers would pay that for those who are currently on welfare. Just wanted to clarify.
Well, yes.
Okay.
Put them there so that they can get off the tax rolls, because after the third year, they're done.
Okay.
They enroll in the program. And then we got to find them a job, because we've had generational entitlements. It's been going on for 50, 60 years now. And we have to put work and work ethic back into our country. Because right now, the food stamps have been increased by tenfold since Mr. Obama's been in office. And our country cannot take it anymore, and so in turn, that's the way you decrease the federal deficit. One of the ways
mm-hmm.
to decrease the federal deficit.
Regarding your corporate tax plan, would you close all the loopholes as well? Because you're talking about everybody would be paying taxes. So
sure.
Okay.
Well, you got to sit down. You got to get the brightest and the people in our country to figure all this out. Just like I had my business, I knew what I had to spend every year and how to figure it out, how many employees I had to figure out, and you come up with a plan. We have no plan now.
Mm-hmm.
We just kick the can down the road. this $19 trillion just didn't happen last year. This
right.
has happened for the last 30 years. And now it's to the exorbitant amount that it's affecting our economy. It's only moving less than 1% now in GDP, and it's not working. And there's a lot of people that are out of work, and they have downsized even where they can work because there aren't enough jobs to go around. So
should Congress implement zero-based budgeting? Because it seems like when they talk about budgeting, it's like we're going to cut spending, but what they mean is we're going to cut actually the increase rather than actually cutting spending.
Yes, it's a political ploy. it's a political move. Zero-based pennies or the penny plan, whatever it takes to decrease our deficit. And we can do it, but we just don't have the guts to do it. And you need people in office in Washington D.C. to go and fight the tough fight and do what's right for our country. And that's where I stand, and that's where I'm challenging Mr. Young because he went with the establishment, and that's how he's been voting, and that's how he's lived his whole adult life in Washington D.C. And the only way you're going to change things is get an outsider like myself that will do the job.
Need to hit a couple more issues quick. We just have a couple minutes left. Not even.
Sure.
What would you do to protect life, unborn life?
Well, you know, I'm pro-life. I'm Catholic. We protect the babies, and we protect the elderly. You know, we have all these new bills now that are going to kill people when they get older because they've lived a long life, and we've had laws in passed in different states to natural death. We have to protect the old folks that are ill, that we don't by creed or deed, put them to sleep because they've lived a long life. God will determine who lives, and only God. And you need to have someone that's going to fight with his entire body, and that's where I come in. And you have my word. And when Joe Granite gives his word, I will do anything I can to make sure that the precious lives of the unborn and the elderly, that or anybody else that wants to commit suicide, assisted suicide, because of the fact that only God can tell when a person should die.
Okay, we're almost out of time.
Sure.
Just where can people learn more real quick? Where's your website?
Well, I have a website, MrG2016.com, or my Facebook page, Joe Grandinet. I have a couple of them. I have my personal Facebook page,
right.
And I have my Facebook page with my candidates.
Thanks, Joe. We appreciate it. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Crosswalk Ministries with Scott Owen, who offers biblical counseling and conciliation. Give them a call at 515-292-7141 or go to crosswalkcounseling.org. Running into news that hopefully you can use. It's our news rundown time. And
And Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders are in a tight race in California from the Los Angeles Times. Hillary Clinton's popularity has slumped in California under an unrelenting challenge for Bernie Sanders, who has succeeded in breaching the demographic wall in Clinton had counted on to protect her in the state's presidential primary. A new USC Dornsif, Los Angeles Times poll has found, as he has done across the country this primary season, Sanders commands the support of younger voters by huge margins in advance of Tuesday's primary. Even among Latinos and Asians, voter groups that Clinton easily won when she ran 8 years ago, many of his backers come from a large pool of voters who have registered for the first time in the weeks before the election. Well, keep in mind, some of those people may have gone for Trump, I wonder, too.
Oh, yeah.
And since he doesn't have a contested primary in California, I'm wondering if some are, you know, crossing over. Yeah. Just a theory. I don't know that for sure. Anyway, yet Tuesday's outcome remains difficult to predict precisely because of the untested nature of Sanders' following. That portends an intense fight in the final days of the campaign. The Vermont senator has battled Clinton to a draw among all voters eligible for the Democratic primary, with 44% siding with him to 43% for Clinton.
Wow,
that represented a 9-point swing from a previous poll in March in which Clinton led handily. So, yeah, interesting.
Indeed.
And, hey, did you think you were going to get through a radio broadcast without us talking about Trump?
I was hoping we would.
I was hoping so, too. But you can't ignore the Republican presumptive nominee as much as we would love to. There's fights erupted outside Trump's San Jose rally. This is the Washington Post. Trump is out there campaigning, even though he obviously doesn't have a contested primary, trying to draw some news attention, which he's masterful at doing. Got to give him credit where credit's due.
You bet.
Pulling that away from the earned media attention that Hillary Clinton's been getting. Anyway, protests outside, I don't think this is what he had in mind, though. Protests outside a Donald Trump rally in downtown San Jose spun out of control Tuesday night when some demonstrators attacked the candidate's supporters. Protesters jumped on cars, pelted Trump supporters with eggs and water balloons. If it's hot, water balloons might actually have been welcome.
Yeah.
Snatched signs and stole Make America Great hats off supporters' heads before burning the hats and snapping selfies with the charred remains. You know, did they not consider that this is like evidence? Probably not. Okay. Several people were caught on camera punching Trump supporters. At least one attacker was arrested, according to CNN, although police did not release much information. The San Jose police made few arrests tonight after the Donald Trump rally, police said in a statement. As of this time, we do not have specific information on the arrests made. There's been no significant property damage reported. One officer was assaulted. In one video circulating widely on social media, two protesters tried to protect a Trump supporter. Good for them. As other protesters attacked him and called him names. Another video captured a female Trump supporter taunting protesters. Not the best idea to do,
right,
folks. Before being surrounded and struck in the face with egg and water balloons. Not that she deserved that, but come on. Use some common sense.
Right.
If you see that it's starting to get violent, shut up.
Yeah.
Anyway, but kudos to the Trump supporters, because it sounds like this was all on the protesters. But San Jose's mayor blames Trump anyway. he's a liberal. Yeah. Our police officers have done an extremely courageous and professional job so far. So far, so good.
Mm-hmm.
San Jose Mayor Sam Liccardo told the Associated Press by phone. We are all still holding our breath to see the outcome of this dangerous and explosive situation. The mayor, a Democrat and Hillary Clinton supporter, criticized Trump for coming to cities and igniting problems that local police departments have to deal with. He's a candidate. Of course he's going to come to cities. Hello, he's got a campaign.
That's right.
So,
he wasn't out there inciting the stuff, so
right.
How is he responsible?
At some point, Donald Trump needs to take responsibility for the irresponsible behavior of his campaign. Now, I'm on the record saying I don't agree with a lot of what Donald Trump says, and he says some things that I would not say.
You bet.
But if you go out and you attack Trump supporters, that's on you.
That's right.
That's not Donald Trump's fault. So anyway, personal responsibility.
There was no bias there, I'll tell you. No bias at all.
Apparently not. So I've got to defend Trump on this. This is ridiculous.
Yep.
But now we got to bash Trump. Trump could
balance it out.
Yeah, yeah. Balance it out, definitely. Trump could threaten U.S. rule of law, scholars say. Now, this is from the New York Times, but they do quote some conservatives here. Donald J. Trump's blustery attacks on the press, complaints about the judicial system, and bold claims of presidential power collectively sketch out a constitutional worldview that shows contempt for the First Amendment, the separation of powers, and the rule of law, legal experts across the political spectrum say. Even as much of the Republican political establishment lines up behind its presumptive nominee, many conservative and libertarian legal scholars warn that electing Mr. Trump is a recipe for a constitutional crisis. Who knows what Donald Trump with a pen and a phone would do? Asked Ilya Shapiro, a lawyer with the Libertarian Cato Institute. With 5 months to go before Election Day, Mr. Trump has already said he would loosen libel laws that make it easier to sue news organizations. He has threatened to sic federal regulators on his critics. He has encouraged rough treatment of demonstrators, even though we see, you know, last is basically the supporter or the protesters that acted out of line.
Yeah.
His proposal to bar Muslims from entry into the country tests the Constitution's guarantee of religious freedom, due process, and equal protection. And in what was the tipping point for some, he attacked Judge Gonzalo P. Curiel of the Federal District Court in San Diego, who is overseeing two class action lawsuits against Trump University. Mr. Trump accused the judge of bias, falsely said that he was Mexican, and seemed to issue a threat. They ought to look into the Judge Curiel, because what Judge Curiel is doing is a total disgrace, Mr. Trump said. Okay, but we will come back in November. Wouldn't that be wild if I'm president and come back and do a civil case? David Post, a retired law professor who now writes for the Volk, I think I'm pronouncing that right, Conspiracy. I've read that blog on occasion. It's a conservative leaning law blah, blah, blah.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, law blog. Said those comments had crossed a line. This is how authoritarianism starts, with a president who does not respect the judiciary, Mr. Post said. You can criticize the judicial system. You can criticize individual cases. You can criticize individual judges. But the president has to be clear that the law is the law and that he enforces the law. That is his constitutional obligation. So, I can't believe we got this much time left. I think I was going to be able to get through this story. But yeah, that's obviously something that I've been concerned about.
Right.
That he's made these statements, and those comments about this judge that's overseeing his Trump University, not his Trump University lawsuit, the lawsuit that he's being sued against, that's disconcerting. Yeah. Because, you know, I'm sorry, you can't just bring up, you know, investigate somebody. This is showing. This is a glimpse into how he could abuse the executive power that he'd be given if he's elected president.
Mm-hmm.
And we already have a president who does that. We need somebody who's going to respect the separation of powers and limit the power of the executive branch and respect the Constitution. And this segment's a wrap. Stay tuned. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back.
Cover of the Rolling Stone, uptown, down home, American kids. You're running late and tempted to disobey that no-walk signal. Waiting can be frustrating. Conflict is like attempting to cross a busy intersection. You really don't want to step off that curb carelessly. I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and you're listening to Pause for Peace. We like to use PAWS Principle by Peacemakers Ministries to help people make those critical steps towards reconciliation. We find that they create a safe structure in the same fashion as a crosswalk provides the parameters for a safe trip through traffic. Another benefit we find with the pause principle is that it reminds us to slow down and take our time to evaluate the situation before moving forward. If you find yourself rushing into the traffic of conflict, please give us a call at 515-635-5465. Crosswalk Ministries is a safe place to make your steps towards God and others.
And welcome back to the last segment, closing stretch of Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Hey, you realize that we have a blog too. Check out our website, caffeinatedthoughts.com. See all of our daily updates, which unfortunately I have not updated yet today, but we'll.
Oh, my goodness.
We will. We cannot have a day go by without an update. Well, that's not entirely true. A weekday go by without an update.
There you go.
I can't always guarantee posts on weekends and holidays, but, you know, during the week we try to have stuff every day. Like us on Facebook at CAFF, C-A-F-F, Thoughts. Follow us on Twitter, CAFF Thoughts. We would appreciate it. Sign up for our emails so you don't miss a daily update or almost daily update.
A lot of good stuff out there, folks.
Yes.
Indeed.
Well, today we just got something so incredible. Just so outrageous. That...
You can't make this stuff up.
I didn't have the script in front of me, so Ron was confused. See, Brian leaves, and we just completely, you know, just totally mess up the last segment. No, it's all right. I'm not even going to try to say the name of the town that this is in. But this is from Hungary. This is Associated Press that writes. Basically, I just cracked up when I read the headline. Gravediggers compete in race judged on speed and style. Yes, digging their way to the top. 18 two-man teams of Hungarian gravediggers displayed their skills Friday for a place in a regional championship to be held in Slovakia later this year. Participants in the contest held in plot 37A of the public cemetery of the eastern Hungarian city of Drebesen were being judged on their speed, but also getting points for style, the look of the finished grave mounds. Janos Jonas, 63, who teamed with his son Kasabla, probably completely slaughtered that name, saw the competition as a sort of last hurrah, as he was just a few weeks from retirement. We didn't have to prepare in any special way because we do this every day, said Jonas from the nearby village of Homeldahum. This is good earth, quite soft and humid, just right for the event. Organizer Irene Carey said they hoped the race would help increase respect and recognition for the gravedigger's profession and attract more people to the job, which is under threat, for example, by the increasing popularity of cremations. Who knew?
Gravediggers
are being driven out of work.
Yes, yes.
These men see death every day. Sometimes people joke about them while they work, but gravediggers are human too, said Carey, who was advocating for gravediggers to get access to psychological support to better handle the strains of the job. We are having difficulties finding replacements for our retiring employees. Young people today don't like to dig and work. I didn't know anybody really likes to dig, but anyway.
They don't dig work? Is that what?
They don't dig work, yeah. All contestants had shovels, rakes, axes, and pickaxes to dig graves that were 2 feet, 7 inches wide and 2 meters, which is 6 feet, 6 inches long, and 1.6 meters, which is 5 feet, 3 inches deep, which would not be legal in the United States. I think it's got to be at least 6 feet deep, right?
Yeah.
But no two teams seemed to use the same technique. Some preferred to dig simultaneously, while others had one man digging while the other formed the dirt into neat piles around the gravesite. For safety reasons, like the collapse of a grave wall, only one member of each team was allowed to work in the grave after reaching a depth of 1 meter, 3 feet, 3 inches. After every team finished digging, the finish time was just over 34 minutes. There was a short rest, and then the dirt was shoveled back into the grave, each topped with a burial mound about the size of a large casket. We take special pride in the burial mounds on which we place flowers and wreaths. And at the end of the funeral, Jonas said, relating
how while drinking on the job was strictly forbidden, relatives often gave gravediggers bottles of fruit brandy as gratuity. Interesting.
Wow.
There you go. Stuff you can't make up. If you have an article you'd like to share, shoot it to us at story@caffeinatedthoughts.com. Story@caffeinatedthoughts.com. Thank you, everybody. It's Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll see you next week.